you will, it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. What a beautiful thing God did when He gave us babies, right? Verse 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for all the blessings You've given us, and especially our great salvation. We thank You for the Word of God we have in our hands, and we thank You for these kids that were being taught all week long Your Word. We pray You'd bless them, You'd draw them close to Yourself, You'd keep them from evil. Oh Lord, You'd just meet every need that they have in their life, and may they grow up and know You as their Lord and Savior. I do pray for everyone in this congregation. Father, I pray You'd bless every Christian, and I pray You'd touch every person here who needs to be saved. Give me a freedom and ease to preach that only You can give. And I thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I think this is a very interesting verse. It's a powerful verse to me. I've been a preacher of the gospel now over 45 years. And the way he states it, as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. You know, that's a great privilege. Amen. It's a tremendous calling. It's a very great privilege. God has something He entrusted unto the preachers of the Word of God. It's the gospel. Now, He didn't trust it to angels. He didn't come down and do it Himself. But He entrusted preachers to preach this glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want you to think for a minute. I hope to make it just as clear as I possibly can. I want to explain to you the gospel as simple as it is. Now, most of the world has heard many of the basic facts, but somehow we miss it. Somehow we let some things slide. The gospel is simply this. The gospel, the word means good news. And the good news is that Jesus Christ came into the world to die in your place. Amen. And that what He did was so complete, nothing can be added to it. Amen. You couldn't save yourself if you were the best man on the face of the earth. You do not have the power. And so God, in His infinite mercy and love, sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus lived the life perfectly fulfilling the law and perfectly pleasing God. Never any sin. Never did He fail God. And when He went to the cross of Calvary, do you remember one of the sayings? There are about seven sayings up there, but one of them He said, "It is finished." Amen. And what that means is when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, He died in your place. And what He did was a complete work. It's not half finished. Jesus is not still working on completing the gospel. The gospel is a historical fact. Most people recognize that at least the Bible, even those that don't believe, that a man by the name of Jesus Christ died on a cross of Calvary out of Jerusalem over 1900 years ago. That's a historical fact. We have listing in the Bible the different things that have four biographies of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they list what He did and what He said. So what we're looking at is not a work in progress. What we are looking at when we look at the gospel is a finished, completed work. Not something I add to, not something you add to, a completed work. He said, "It is finished," and from that day to this and throughout eternity, perfect righteousness has already been established by what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. If you ever see it, and by the grace of God I did 45 years ago, I saw it. I had religion for a long time. I knew the facts about Jesus Christ and about the Bible and many historical books. I had a Christian grandmother and a mother and a father, and they taught me Bible stories and various things. So I knew a whole lot of facts. But one day I saw that what Jesus did for me was so complete, nothing I could do could add to it whatsoever. I couldn't add to it. I couldn't take from it. It was a finished work outside of me, apart from me, accomplished by God on my behalf. And all I had to do was believe it and receive it. That's the gospel.
Amen.
Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and the third day He rose again,
Amen.
Proving Himself the Son of God with power, victor over death, hell, and the grave. The gospel, the simple gospel, is so beautiful. It's that Jesus Christ died for you. He paid your debt completely. And if you will receive that and accept it, you can be saved for all eternity.
Amen.
Now that's beautiful.
That's right.
Knight said, as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. Not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. It's an amazing thing to me, but it's a fact nonetheless. How many people oppose that simple truth? How much religion in the world wants to add something of your works to it? How many of you in your own mind think you have to do something? You have to be good. You have to be better. You have to not do this or not do that. That it's in your hands, your salvation, when it's not. What Jesus Christ did was absolutely, perfectly complete.
Amen.
And God's put us in trust with this. Now, when we preach it, it's amazing, the opposition. But there's another verse I'd like you to look at. It's over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We have an enemy that does not want you to believe the gospel. We have an enemy that does not want you to trust Christ, and he blinds minds. In fact, the Bible tells us, Jesus is telling us about the devil, and it says that when the word of God is preached and it's sown into the hearts, then cometh the devil, and he takes the word out of the heart. The devil is dealing in the realm of believing and not believing. The devil is dealing in the realm of your heart, that inner man inside of you, and he speaks with your voice. It says right here, the God of the world hath blinded, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. If our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. My friend, if you're here today without the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's because you just haven't seen it. Just have not believed it. And that works right into the hands of the devil himself. Now, this glorious gospel, this perfect gospel, I want you to think a minute. If you could do it, how long would it last? I tease every once in a while about ice cubes. I still have an old refrigerator. We have ice trays. And I will break my ice trays out, put them on the counter, rake them off into my glass. Invariably, I drop one. And I've come to the position to think I should throw one on the floor when I first bring them out. Then I would not be so frustrated to think that I always drop one. I'm going to get them all in. I'm going to get them all in. Boom, there goes one. I don't believe this. I'm a failure in almost everything I do. Oh, I might go real well, very long. I can remember one time I was tightening the nuts on the head of a motor we were overhauling. And my daddy said, I was young and strong, and my daddy said, you got a cheater there. An extra long thing. He said, you got too much strength. Don't pop that head. Don't pop that nut off inside the head. I said, yeah, I got it, Dad. Pop.
Oh.
Then we got to drill it out. A whole lot more work. I was just there. I was so close. We were almost finished. It's going to be a beautiful, perfect job. I don't get many perfect jobs. Do you? I thought I married the perfect woman. But I made a mistake. I thought I raised perfect kids. I made a mistake. You understand anything in your hands is flawed? Look at the very best athletes there are. Nobody does it 100%. Nobody. I mean, one of the greatest hitters in the world struck out twice as many times as he had home runs. We're not perfect. If God left salvation in your hands, you'd lose it. If God left your righteousness in your hands, you'd mess it up. Your own mind, you are so stubborn and so selfish and so self-willed, you go against your own best interest over and over and over again. But I want you to know, there is a gospel. And I'm sorry if it's hid, because you need to see the light of it. Everybody needs to see the light. You need to understand, and if you ever understood, if you could ever see the beauty of the complete gospel in Christ Jesus, you'd never trust religion again. Once you've seen it, you would never go back to trying to keep the golden rule and love your neighbor as yourself and the Ten Commandments or some religious thing, or never trust a preacher or a priest or a rabbi or anybody else to be able to get care of your sins. If you ever saw it, I hope by the grace of God you can see it today. My Bible tells me in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Why do some people believe this thing is so valuable and so wonderful they go down on the streets and preach it to people's jeers? Why would they allow, why would they be so insistent on telling this gospel door to door, neighbor to neighbor, family and friend, no matter what it costs them? Because they've seen something absolutely beautiful. They've seen something so much better than the world has to offer. And they know they received a tremendous gift, and they want to pass that gift on. And remember that first verse I read you? We were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. I've been given a commission. I've been given a command. I've had a trust entrusted unto me that I spread this gospel, that I tell others about it. One of the first things I wanted to do after I got saved was tell everybody I knew. I got saved. Jesus Christ saved my soul. He changed my life. He forgave my sins. I'm a different man. Well, a few heard me, but a lot of them didn't. There are a lot of people in this room with that same experience. A few heard you, but a lot of them didn't. But I want you to know, I'm not ashamed of this. Christ sent me to preach the gospel. Not necessarily with my wisdom of words or oratory or education, but in the demonstration of the Spirit of God and power, where He can save a soul and change a life. It says in verse 18, 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." What do you think about the preaching of the cross today? Jesus Christ paid your debt. The only hope you have of reaching heaven is by what Jesus Christ did. There's not a thing you can add to it. You can't be good enough to get to heaven. Not a single one of you. Unless you have the righteousness of Jesus Christ given to you by God Almighty, and unless your sins are laid upon Christ, a transaction by God, you have no hope whatsoever of missing hell. Is it foolishness to you? Have you backed off of the gospel for years? Oh, that's just foolishness. I don't need that. That's for weak people. That's for religious people. That's for ladies and children. That's for vacation Bible school kids. You know what the Bible says? The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. I look back on my life. There were many times I tried to reform. Many times I tried to turn over a new leaf. Many times I decided I was going to do something better. Failed every time. Every time. Oh, sometimes it might last a month, sometimes it might last 2 or 3 months, sometimes it might last a year, but I failed every time. And you're going to fail every time too. But one day I came to Jesus Christ. He saved my soul and He changed my life. It's got better all along.
Amen.
From where I stand, I would never go back.
Right.
Nothing that I had in my life past, nothing that I could have possibly gained, would I ever go back for. Once you've seen the beauty of the gospel and what God has done, how in the world would you go back to the beggarly elements of this old world, our religion, our tradition? So that's what you're saved. It is the power of God. Look at Romans, if you will, 1:16. Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
Now, I know some people that are a little bit ashamed of me sometimes when I start talking to somebody. Well, I've embarrassed some people. Are you going to actually talk in front of them about this? Why not? Well, my opportunity. I've talked to people on airplanes. I've talked to people on buses. I've talked to people in train stations. I've talked to people in grocery stores. I've talked to people in department stores. I've talked to people on the streets. I've talked to people in homes. I remember a lady one time invited me over because her husband was lost. So she fixed dinner for my wife and my family and invited us to her house. I'm sorry, it was her father that was lost. It was her father that was lost. And she invited us over. We had dinner. After we'd eaten, I went into the living room and sat on the couch by the man. And I began to tell him that he was a sinner and needed a Savior. And oh, she jumped in between me and said, "Oh no, my dad's a good man." She fought me the whole way. Yes, your dad may be a good man, but he's a sinner. Your dad may be a good man, but he's not good enough. Your dad may have been a wonderful dad to you, but if he doesn't get saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, he's going to split hell wide open and spend an eternity there. Are you embarrassed? Are you ashamed that someone would be bold enough to say that you're a sinner in need of a Savior? Well, you are. I don't care who you are. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how much people think well of you. You're a sinner in need of a Savior.
Amen.
You know how I know you're a sinner? Just work without taking a bath and you'll smell just as bad as the rest of us. It just oozes out of you. You're not perfect. There's corruption and sin within your mind and in your body. You know it if you look at it honestly. That's why I'm not ashamed of this gospel of Christ. I am not ashamed to say, I'm a Christian.
Amen.
I belong to Jesus Christ. I was a worthless wreck on the road to hell, but Christ paid my debt. I'm saved.
Amen.
By what He did for me. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. Now, as strange as that may seem, it's the truth. There are going to be many, many religious people in hell. Many, many, what you would call good religious people in hell. And there are going to be rapists and murderers on death row in heaven. Does that blow your mind? I had a boy I went to Huntsville to visit. While he was walking around and here, his hair was all messed up and he had all sorts of things and he looked like a bum. When I saw him in prison, he looked clean and neat. He had his hair cut. He had on some clean uniforms and looked like he was a soldier boy. You know what? That boy couldn't make it in school. But when he got in prison, he learned to read. They locked him in a little room for a while and he came to himself. They locked him up where he was bored to tears. He learned to read. What teachers couldn't teach him, he learned on his own. Because God put him in a box. Complete different. You know, all the time I'd talk to him about his stupid behavior, he'd sort of laugh me off. And yeah, I know. He was treating me with respect, but he wasn't giving in to my idea and he didn't want my gospel. But they locked him up in a cell for a couple of years. He was ready to listen. There are some people that have done horrible things, but they repented of them and took Christ as their Savior.
Amen.
You see, the power of the blood of Jesus Christ is enough to forgive all sin.
Amen. That's
right. Any sin.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
And you that would never need to go to prison. You that have a good job and a good mind and a good education, but you don't think you need God, you're still a sinner. You're still a sinner. And if sin would send you to hell, it only takes one to do it. You need Jesus Christ. And simply believing that Jesus Christ is who He said He was. And I believe He's who He said He was.
Amen.
He was God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us.
Amen.
God came because of His love, took upon Himself a human body, lived a perfect life in our place, died, suffered our death, took our sins upon Him that we might be dressed in His righteousness. And understand me very clearly this morning, the only righteousness that will ever get you into heaven is the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You're not good enough now, you won't be good enough tomorrow, and you won't be good enough when you're an old man or an old woman.
Amen.
That's the only way. And once you see it, you say, oh, the mercy of God, the beauty of God, the blessing of God, the privilege to preach the gospel. I've got a message. I don't mind preaching it over and over and over again. If I preach it next week, I'll preach it next week. I don't mind preaching it all the time. Why? It's the power of God unto salvation. It changed my life.
Amen.
I accepted that truth. I made it mine. I said, yes, forgive me my sins, save my soul, have mercy upon me. You'll be my Lord from here on in. And you know, Jesus Christ changed me that day. Power! I smoked from the time I was 5 till I was 21. I couldn't quit. I got saved to quit smoking. God changed my life. The cuss words used to come out of my mouth. They don't come out anymore. God took them out.
Amen.
I love to gamble. Gambling was one of my greatest pleasures. Now, I won't even flip a coin to see which one of us pays for the Cokes. I'll buy the Cokes. I'm not going to gamble. Jesus Christ died in my place, and the simple believing of that changed my life, changed my wife's life and my children's lives, and some of your lives.
Amen. Amen.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
It's the power of God unto salvation. There's power in these words. That's why I preach them. There's power in these words that can change your life. And many of you in here have been changed because you heard the simple truth. Christ died for you according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day, victorious, proving Himself to be the Son of God with power. And He'll save your soul if you call upon Him.
Amen.
Turn to Romans chapter 10, verses 9, 10, and 13. The very last words of verse 8 says, the word of faith which we preach. The word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Look down at verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How clear is that? How beautiful is that? God didn't say, if good people will call upon my name, they'll be saved. He didn't say, if bad people will call upon my name, they'll be saved. If sinners call. No, He said, for whosoever.
Amen.
And you know why I'm so happy about that, whosoever? I wrote my name in there 45 years ago.
That's right. Amen.
45 years ago. For if Lendell Kincaid shall call upon the name of the Lord, Lendell Kincaid shall be saved. I took it. I believed it.
Amen.
And He did it.
Amen.
What a blessing. What a beauty. How about you here today? Do you know that lost people need the gospel preached to them? Did you know that saved people need the gospel preached to them?
Right.
We get in this old world and we forget sometimes what price was paid.
Amen.
To buy us our freedom. What price was paid to cleanse us from our sins. What a price was paid to set our minds free. And sometimes we forget how important the gospel really is. It is important. It's the power of God unto salvation. No greater work can you do than to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and bring people to a saving knowledge of Him. And my friend, no better thing could you do than to repent of your sins and call upon Jesus Christ today and ask Him to have mercy upon you. You know there's one thing that'll send you to hell? Unbelief. Unbelief. He's got enough power to save murderers, rapists, all kinds of sins, list the sins they are, all the wickedness of mankind. The only thing that can keep you is unbelief. If you believe the truth of the gospel and call upon Jesus Christ, He'll save your soul and change your life. It's the power of God unto salvation. And that great invitation verse, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you call? Will you call today? I don't know how many times you've heard the gospel. I don't know how much opportunity you've had. But you have an opportunity today. As long as there's life, there's hope, my Bible says. You're here today and you're hearing a gospel preached, I hope plainly, clearly, to where you have no doubt what the Bible teaches, that if you will simply believe that Christ died in your place, that He loved you enough to save you, that He would save you, could call upon Him and you'd call today, He'd save you. So that's pretty simple. You know what? That's exactly what God will do. He's ready to forgive your sins. He's ready to forgive everything you've ever done. Your stubbornness, your selfishness, your foolishness, your waiting. God Almighty is a merciful God. But all of that mercy is in Jesus Christ. None of it outside of Him. Very exclusive. You have Christ, you have salvation. You do not have Christ, there is no salvation. But what a great invitation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
I hope you call upon Him today as your Lord and Savior and walk out of here born again and saved. Let's stand and sing number 249.